Emergency podcast time. We have perhaps the biggest free agency news in this league's history. The 2023 MVP, Jeff Babbitt, has elected not to re-sign with the New York Empire. He now leaves behind one of the biggest legacies in UFA history. There is a great story on watchufa.com full of reporting from Evan Lepler describing how neither side, New York nor Babbitt, could reach mutual agreement for the 2024 season, so he is electing to play elsewhere. There are reportedly three teams with serious considerations for Babbitt. He has said that he will try to make a decision by April 1st. There's a whole bunch of speculation online that this is just one big April Fool's Day joke, but you and I can assert this has been the grumblings in the background of this league for the past several weeks, and many, many of us have been trying to keep a lid on it, but finally, Evan Lepler with some great reporting, breaking this absolutely gargantuan offseason news as we barrel towards a 2024 season now under a month away. Cameron, there's no comparison for this. I mean, last season, it felt like we got this sort of epical change with Pavel Giannis moving on from Chicago, the league's all-time leading assist getter, and going to LA. But Babbitt, I mean, the reigning MVP, this doesn't happen in sports. You know, I don't have a kind of comparison to make as far as like Big Four history or even dipping into some of the other alternative sports like we are. There's not a precedence for this. What's your immediate reaction to hearing this news be confirmed today?
You know, the only comparison I can really draw from other sports is when you have a team like, let's say, the Golden State Warriors with Kevin Durant, where people kind of always wondered, okay, when is somebody going to be unhappy and this team's going to have to break apart? Mm-hmm. And that kind of sounds like where we're at with the Jeff Babbitt story. Like,
there is MVP, the MVP. I mean, we could get into the absolutely gritty details of maybe how this contract negotiation played out, but he's the MVP, most valuable. And it's that thing of like, for as amazing as Ben Yacht and Jack Williams and Ryan Osgar and John Randolph and Antoine Davis and the rest of this New York core has been, we were talking about in the pre-show, like Babbitt predates that entire group. He predates almost everybody but some of the original members of New York that have been playing since the team's inception, and Mike and Ryan Drost and Matt Stevens, who announced his retirement quietly this offseason after playing for a decade in this league, one of the league's all-time league goal scorers. But like, Babbitt has, by all accounts, been almost a defensive coach for multiple seasons on this team. I mean, when you talk about foundational players, it's Babbitt and maybe two to three other people in this league, including yourself.
I think the crazy thing is, I think for a lot of people who maybe are more casual UFA fans, Jeff Babbitt may have burst onto the scene for them in 2019 when they went undefeated for the first time. That just seemed kind of like his coming out party, because at that point, not only was he making big plays, which he had kind of always done, but now he was doing it on a team that was potentially going to win the championship. Whereas when he was doing it before, it was on a team that maybe they were going to make the playoffs. Maybe they were going to win a game. But it wasn't even until 2018 that they were able to make it to championship weekend. So he was kind of always doing it in a place where he wasn't going to be as noticed. And then 2019, you know, they signed Grant Linsley. Jack Williams comes on and Ben Yacht, that whole team, you know, they go undefeated. And Jeff Babbitt becomes one of the great players in the league. Whereas think of before that, he was clearly seen as a very good player, but wasn't necessarily put up there with the greats. And since then, he's only gotten better. His offensive game has improved to the point where, I mean, he took Ben Yacht's spot on the O-line, which is not a sentence I thought I was ever going to say. You know, if you would have told me that 4 or 5 years ago, I'd be like, yeah, what are you talking about? It doesn't make any sense. But here we are, a guy who just led the league in goals, a guy who, in a game in DC in the regular season, literally, he was front cone Jeff Babbitt. Like, he was going to get to that cone before anybody else. And even though you knew he was going there, he was still going to beat you there. He is arguably the greatest athlete we have in our sport. Like, I know I've said that about Jacob Fairfax, who I think is definitely in the conversation for that. But when you talk about just pure explosiveness, there may not be a more explosive athlete in our sport than Jeff Babbitt. He has, at the end of a quarter, you just kind of feel it's an inevitability. It's not even like a, I actually had, of course, one of the weirdest experiences since joining Swing Pass is, of course, now I have especially teammates or former teammates of mine constantly asking me questions about, like, if I have the inside scoop on anything. And I had somebody tell, like, trying to get me to tell them, what teams is Jeff Babbitt considering? Do you know? And for first off, I don't know for certain. I definitely have some guesses, but they were like, could you imagine if he went to Atlanta and was with Brett Holzmeier and Dean Ramsey? He's like, those, what'd they say? Those 50-50s would be more like 90-10s. And I said, no. It's already a 90-10 when it's just Jeff Babbitt. If you put him with those other two guys, it becomes a 98-2. Like, it's just so, and I just kind of started going through that, like, oh, well, what if he was on this team? What if he was on this team? What if he was on this team? And I think the crazy thing is, I would assume he's going to go to somebody who has a legitimate chance at, like, contending. I know you put out that you thought, like, maybe Montreal could be potentially one of the teams that he could go to.
I threw out three guesses on Twitter in DC, sure. Boston, and Montreal. They were complete hypotheticals. I'm not basing that on any kind of actual info I have received.
Sure.
And more to the point, there were only, I think, a handful of teams aware that Babbitt was maybe not going to be re-signing before last week. And now I think there's going to be even more teams kind of playing in and seeing if they can maybe make him an offer. I mean, this has just sort of opened up Pandora's box for, I think, the possibilities. I mean, you were even sharing some of the group chat messages of possibly starting a GoFundMe on the Alley Cats and seeing if you guys could get some funds together and bring Babbitt to the Midwest. I mean, it's that kind of monumental thing, right? I mean, everybody wants to play with Jeff Babbitt. That's not only is he a fantastic, like you say, athlete star on the field. I mean, he's a teammate's teammate. I mean, you talk mm-hmm. about a locker room guy, a presence you want to be around, somebody who hits stuff in the offseason, takes film seriously, is just top to bottom who you want to be as a professional athlete. It's Jeff Babbitt. I mean, what team doesn't want to bring him in that isn't the other 23 teams outside of New York? And we can get to a lot more speculation. I wanted to get to a couple of accolades just to kind of give a real picture of the tenure he just had in New York. So 8 seasons, 96 games, 7 of which he spent as a captain, reigning MVP in 2023, 5 of the last 6 years on all UFA rosters, including 4 in a row. He's a 3-time champion on a 3-time undefeated New York team. He has 117 goals in the last 2 seasons, the most of anybody in the league. And he is the only player in UFA history to lead the league in a single season in blocks and then another season in goals. He led the UFA in blocks in 2017, his second season in the league, his first full season. And then, of course, last year, 2023, his MVP season, he led with 60 goals. It's just, somebody else said it online too, and I think it's apt. They asked it as a question, is he the best two-way athlete? He's the best two-way athlete right now in this sport. And it's kind of bizarre to say in an athletic competition that is so predicated on throwing talent. And it's not to say Jeff Babbitt lacks that, or especially lacks decision-making skill. He's completing damn near 98% of his passes for his career. But, like, he's got 2 completed hucks in his career. He does not stretch the field. I don't know if he even has a hammer throw. And yet, you can poll anybody in this league about the impact of Jeff Babbitt, and there's a reason why he was unanimously the MVP. It's undeniable. I mean, look at the stats, look at the game, like, any way you want to slice it, Jeff Babbitt is one of the most impactful players we've ever had. And now not only does a new team pick him up, I think honestly the most important thing is that New York loses him. We talked about it a little bit in the speculation an episode or two ago on this here podcast, but, like, New York has had an invincibility about them. You know, there was the first undefeated season in 2019. That included a host of late game finishes. 2022 and 2023, though, this team felt impervious, infallible almost. You get through one or two stars, and there's still almost like a half lineup of other people who could still be an MVP. Now they lose their big guy. They're like Hulk on the Avengers, right? Like, well, say what you want about the strength and the power of everyone else. Hulk's the one that can jump planet to planet and bring things down. That's kind of what Babbitt always was for New York. And now he's gone. And New York is still absolutely a championship team. Don't get it twisted.
100%.
But like, this matters. This is big. Like, this, obviously, duh. But, you know, the thing that I was even talking about with somebody else is that it was kind of interesting. Last year, it was like all these teams got better around New York. L.A., D.C., Colorado even. They, like, improved the roster. Salt Lake. And yet New York was so far above everyone, it felt like that those gains were marginalized. Now New York feels like they're coming back down to the mortal realm. It feels like they're coming off of Mount Olympus. I mean, do you see them as now being fallible? Does this level the playing field? I mean, we made jokes about, do you just take New York or the field in a championship? Now I might take a field bet, and I haven't said that in like 2 years.
Yeah, I think it, you know, the power dynamics, especially if we look at the most, you know, immediate impact, just being in their division, what does that look like? I think it really does kind of seesaw on what Jeff Babbitt decides to do and where he decides to go. You know, let's break down what we know from the article, or what we can surmise, which is that there was basically some amount of money, essentially, that was not, they weren't seeing eye to eye. We don't know what that amount is. We don't know what that figure is. We don't know what the difference is, right? But what we do know from the article is that it wasn't close. And they realized that it wasn't going to, like, from where their starting points were, they just were not going to be able to come to any sort of agreement. So knowing that, right, knowing that money is at play here, what does that mean? Well, that means that the closer teams, I would think, would have a huge advantage, because in terms of like paying for his travel, that's going to be cheaper, obviously, if he's closer. So if that's playing a part in it, knowing what I know about Jeff Babbitt, this has to be killing him. Like, let's talk about this. You mentioned
he's
been there since 2016. He has helped grow this team from, oh, you know, a team that might be middling, might make the playoffs, but wasn't really expected to do much when they got there, to, okay, now like a team that we have been talking about as the greatest team that this league has seen. They truly are an empire. Like, they feel like an empire. And like, that is hard. Like, he talked about he's leaving his friends behind. Like, this is the only team he's ever played for. He kind of helped build them almost from the ground up. He has been as committed to that team as anyone, probably outside of the Stevens family. Like, there's not a more committed person to the New York Empire than Jeff Babbitt.
No, I think that's totally accurate.
Clearly an emotional component to this as well. But if we're looking at what ended up breaking it apart, it appears that money had something to do with it. So my guess is he's going somewhere closer, and I would imagine he's probably staying in division. Now, Jeff doesn't even know where he's going right now, right? He said there's three teams that seem to be the front runners, and maybe some other teams that he's in talks with. Who knows if any other team's going to try to throw their hat in the ring upon hearing this announcement. I'll be excited to hear what that is. But if he stays somewhere in the East, and especially if he goes to DC, like, does that completely flip that matchup? Because it definitely has the ability to do that. And can you imagine? Because you know what I can't wait for if he stays in division? I cannot wait for some Benyat-Jeff Babbitt matchups. I cannot wait. Because, like, as intense as both of those guys are,
like, going to rent an apartment and, like, ride off into the sunset during the end of the championship game last year. I mean, like, they were together in each other's arms. So, yeah, it will be absolutely bonkers to see them possibly lined up against each other.
I mean, there's, and you know, he's a UMass guy. There's a fair amount of UMass players who have gone through, like, Boston, for instance, like even some current UMass players or some recent grads. Like, does he go that route? I don't know. I'm so, like, we're going to have to do a whole nother emergency podcast when we like figure out where he's going,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Like,
second time this episode, duh. I wanted to read a couple of quotes from Babbitt. First off, quote, "This is a team that I feel like I had a very large part in building over the last 8 seasons, and I've been a captain for 7. I did 1,000 different tasks for this team from all different ends of the spectrum, excuse me, both as a player, a captain, effectively another coach, and on the outside with sponsors, partners, camps, and clinics, and it's tough to leave everything that I helped build behind. Plus, many of my best friends and people that I care about, I've spoken to many of my now former Empire teammates about it. They're very sad to see me go. I know that some of them tried to negotiate on my behalf to try to make it work out." And then the second quote, Evan Leppler had asked him what kind of emotions he would feel at the prospect of potentially suiting up against the Empire in 2024. And Babbitt responded, "I'm not sure at this point. I haven't had a lot of time to process anything, to be honest. At this point, just disappointed and sad at that prospect and not looking forward to it. It could change to fired up and motivated. It could change to, quote, it's just another game, unquote." I mean, again, it's just, we're still struggling to really synthesize a little bit of this, right? I mean, like you say, you kind of put yourself in his shoes as somebody who's been a pillar and foundational to their franchise. Can you maybe walk through how you might feel in Babbitt's? I mean, obviously this is such an individual thing for him to be going through, but sure. If there was to be possibly somebody who could get some insight, I feel like you are a perfect person to kind of give your take. Like how would it be for you to walk away from the Cats, and what would it be like for you to have to go play them? Like, how would you feel getting marked up by Nick Hutton or somebody that you played alongside for 10 plus years?
Yeah. So a lot of what Jeff says really resonates with me, because like the way he describes his role with the Empire since he's joined really kind of mirrors what I've done with the Alley Cats. Outside of Travis Carpenter, who is actually a part owner of the Alley Cats and does take on a lot of ownership responsibilities and like figuring things out, you know, same way that like Matt Stevens has done a lot of that stuff for the Empire. When it has come to like going to clinics, when it's come to doing promotion for our team, when it's come to just like putting extra time in outside of practices and games, I've done more than anyone. And like, that isn't something that's really arguable. Like I have, from the first season, like if they needed somebody to go run a camp, I was there. If they needed somebody to go do a promotion, I was there. And if I actually, I mean, this isn't something I made super public, although I had talked to some of my teammates about when I was getting ready to come back in 2023, knowing I had a second child on the way, there was some consideration by me and my family about like, do I need to be making more money doing this in order to be still playing in this league? Like it's one thing when you have one kid, it's a little bit easier, but you know, kids aren't cheap. And you know, the time away that I take for Frisbee is not time where I'm making a super huge amount of money. So like there was thought like, do I need to kind of what Jeff Babbitt's doing right now, try to enter some sort of free agency and see if there's a team willing to give me enough money out there? And like the thought of that was really hard for me because I wanted to keep playing. And I didn't know if I could like keep playing. Turned out it ended up being a not big issue. My wife and I were able to figure out financials would be just fine. And I was able, obviously I've been an indie, and I am glad that that was what ended up happening. I don't know what I would have done had to have gone somewhere else like that, especially if it ended up being in division, like you said, like matching up like Nick Hutton's guarding me or Specs or somebody else. And I don't know how I would have really dealt with that. It would have felt unnatural. Like, I guess I would have just had to pretend I was in practice, like where they would always mark up on me then, but it wouldn't have been something I really looked forward to, kind of like Babbitt was saying. So it's hard. Like I'm sure that whatever reasoning, maybe even beyond the money that went into this, I don't feel like it was taken lightly by Jeff. I don't feel like this is something he wanted to do. I feel like you can hear it and see it in what he's said. Like, you can see that he didn't want it to come to this, and clearly the Empire didn't want it to come to this. That no one's sitting there like, yeah, we had the MVP, but you know, no big deal if they can't come back next year. And you mentioned this being like the biggest MVP news or like offseason news and free agency news. That's because like, excuse me, so often in the past, it's not like we haven't had MVPs move on. Like we've had Bo Kittredge go from team to team to team, right? We've had Goose Helton go
Goose and Bo. I mean,
yeah, like the only those two have done it.
Better than Benyan.
Excuse me, but they but it wasn't like this process like this. Like we kind of knew early on, like Goose spent his first year in Indy, and then he went to Chicago for a few years, and then he was in DC, and then he was in Raleigh, and then he was like, it's kind of like you almost expected it. He wasn't loyal to one team for like this super long period of time, and the same with Bo Kittredge. You know, he would stay here for a couple years, here for a couple years, here for a couple years.
Jonathan Nethercutt too.
Yeah, no one's been there long enough. Like, that's the thing. Like you said, kind of almost at this point, if you were to rip a person off of a team that, like, kind of you associate so much with that franchise, like, you kind of don't even have that many options because there just aren't that many people in the league who have been with one team. It would be like a la me or Rick Gross or Travis Carpenter going somewhere else. It would be, you know, Matt Smith going from Atlanta to somewhere else. You know, there just aren't a lot of people that have been with the same team for 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. Like, so this is huge for a variety of reasons. It's not just that he's the MVP. He's kind of been, whether you thought of him like this or not, he's kind of the identity of the Empire in my mind because he's built that. And the attitude too, like he has that winning attitude and that competitive attitude. Like when he scores and just screams and you can just tell, like, I don't know, like
that Francona goal against DC. I mean, yeah. Everyone knew it when he started shouting. There's no doubt when that man takes over that it's his field at that time. He's just got that kind of impact and gravity to him.
Yeah, but we'll just have to wait and see. We're waiting now. We're in the waiting phase. It's an exciting waiting phase.
More
the thing
waiting.
Is, April 1st is not that far away.
It's going to make the next month absolutely blitz by. I'll tell you what, we had enough planned on deck for preseason, and now with the MVP up in the air, we've got our hands full. That'll be enough for this quick emergency pod of Swing Pass. We'll be back again next week, maybe with signing news of the MVP. We shall see. But thank you for tuning in here and now. We'll be continuing to cover this story as more and more emerges, but man, we've got some powder kegs lined up underneath of the 2024 season now, as if there wasn't enough to get excited for with the Super Series, just the return and everything. It's on. It's on. Let's go.